Diamond shines clear to the truth. Words have meaning that we can comprehend like definitions. Music can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking you to pull back our musical curtain and see and hear the contributions of our diaspora. And you will find our quest moment, indeed, where we attempt to make waves and vibration. Thank you very much for listening to the opening song of Antoinette Montague. Ain't gonna let no one turn us around. And thank you once again for joining us here for a different perspective of our community. We are Quest Community Vibration, better known as Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. As we continue this morning on today's program, student host Walter Pierce will feature his diamond in history on John Jacob's The Sandlin, and he will define the word reclaiming for his definition of the day. Finally, his curtain will feature musical artist and rapper DMX. His co-hosts will include Tanisha Gardner, Tamir Davis, Shelton Harris, and myself, Dr. Richard Bombay. Phone callers will have a final say by providing a question and or comment about today's program. So now, without any further ado, I'd like to now bring on our student host, Walter Pierce, without interfering with your beginning with more music. Good morning, Walter. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing good, and I want to welcome everybody to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations. And to start off the show for today, I want to start off with a diamond. And see, history is like a diamond. Each person represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, as Mr. Bay just mentioned, I will be talking about Jean Jacobs Dessalines. And basically, who he is somebody of Haitian descent. And I wanted to bring a new aspect to the show and introduce people who are people from, originate from Africa. But, you know, people who originate from Africa, of course, will also spread out all across the world. So, you know, we have people who are African descent in the Caribbean and also in Haiti as well. So to talk about him for today, he was brought to the French West Indian colony of Saint Domingue, Haiti as a slave. He worked as a field hand for the black master until 1791. And when he joined the slave rebellion that broke out in the colony, amid the turmoil caused by the French Revolution. In the decade that followed, he distinguished himself as a lieutenant of the black leader Toussaint Louverture, who established himself as governor general of the country with nominal alliance to revolutionary France. When Toussaint was disposed in 1802 by a French expedition sent by Napoleon to reconquer the colony, Dessalines at first submitted the new regime. In 1803, however, when Napoleon declared his intention to reintroduce slavery, which had been abolished by the French National Convention in 1794, Dessalines and other black and mulatto of mixed European and African descent leaders rose in rebellion. They expelled the French from Saint-Domingue, and in January 1, 1804, Dessalines, as governor general, proclaimed the entire island of Hispaniola an independent country under the Arawak-derived name Haiti. The following September, he adopted the title of emperor as Jacobs I. Dessalines continued many of Toussaint's policies, including the use of forced labor on plantations to prevent reversions of a purely subsistence economy, and a series of actions meant to prevent any renewal of white dominance over the blacks, who formed more than 80% of the population. He confiscated land owned by white people and made it illegal for them to own property, and perhaps fearing them as potential subverts in the events of another French invasion, launched a campaign of extermination against the country's white inhabitants, in which thousands were killed. Resistance to Dessalines and his autocratic rule among the mulatto elites. He was finally killed trying to put down a revolt under the mulatto leader, Alexandre Thabis Coton, after which Coton and the black leader of Henry Christie divided Haiti between themselves. And that concludes my segment on Dessalines. And just, you know, to sum it up again, you know, him being able, you know, to take over the country, and, you know, eventually he didn't really trust white people in his country or them owning anything. So he wanted to make sure everything that was owned was of the people of Haitian descent. So again, that concludes what I have on Dessalines, and I thank you for listening to another edition of Diamond, and you are tuned in to 89.5 WSOU. Thank you.
Okay. Great job. I just want to bring in Mr. Harris. I want to bring you in, and then I'm coming to the Black Librarian. Tell me quickly, what is your response to the Haitian Revolution, now that Walter was so kind to bring it up?
Well, personally, the Haitian Revolution actually scared a lot of Europeans in their colonial times, because it gave the Africans and other indigenous people a reason to feel that they don't have to put up with this anymore. And if we fight back, we can do something about it. So in order to keep that mindset away from the majority of the people, Europeans did whatever they could to, like, stop Haiti from becoming a international or even a regional power. There would be no trade no more, where they were really big in sugar and stuff prior to that. They wouldn't trade with them. They wouldn't trade for rice. And they became really decimated because of their isolation around the world. But it did spark a lot of other protests.
Okay. one of the things that I've had privy to hear is that Haiti is a country that is still suffering from that revolution to today's time, and today's time has been very vindictive towards a group of people of African descent rising up and taking over their independence. I asked the Black librarian, can you, good morning, can
good
you
morning.
Speak to that?
Yeah, if you look and you read a book entitled Black Jacobins by C.R.R. James, and I agree with Mr. Harris's assessment. C.R.R. James actually spelt it out in terms of what was going on between the different fashions. It was a bourgeoisie. Then you had problems between the French, the Francos. You had problems within the nation of Haiti or Hispaniola. At one time it was called Hispaniola. Not only did the Haitians fight against the French, the Haitians fought against the British, the Americans, and also the Spaniards to actually win their independence. So it wasn't just a fight between the French. But what happens is in the fashion of Haiti, you had differences of who was going to align more with the French based on them being mulatto, who was going to align more with Toussaint, so on and so forth. And then you have the Dessalines comes into play. Jacques Dessalines, Henri Christophe, and also a very important person. Actually, if you know Alexandre Dumas, Alexandre Dumas is related to the actual general, Henri Dumas. So there's been a lot of things taking place. The French were so atrocious that they actually made sure that the cash crop that was there in terms of the sugar cane was actually depleted in terms of its ability to grow by placing salt in the soil so it won't grow. Because Haiti was the most prodigious producing cash crop of sugar cane throughout the world. So the fight,
right.
Although the fight that was taking place was over cash crop. And the cash crop being the sugar cane. So they're still suffering today. And Mr. Harris had what a very important point, that when you look at in 1804, the revolution of 1804, the ripple effect in generations to come, it impacted upon Gabriel Prosser and his French, his revolution against the Americans in Florida with the Seminoles. It impacted upon Dessalines' incision of revolution and also Nat Turner. And it goes as far as David Walker with David Walker's appeal. After the 1804 revolution, there was an appeal that was going across the north part of America that went into pockets, and it was sold to David Walker's appeal, telling people how to actualize their means of independence. So... And it was very threatening. It would be similar to a situation today dealing with 9/11. The impact of the Haitian Revolution impacted the whole entire planet during that particular time, during the known world of Europe, the Americas, and what have you. And also, if we look at Simón Bolívar had aided the Haitians from out of Venezuela, had aided the Haitians in their revolutionary struggle, had aided them in their revolutionary struggle by sending them arms, machetes, so on and so forth, stuff like that. So the Haitian Revolution was always seen as an international affair. And it was the second most successful revolution in the Americas, the first being the American Revolution. The Haitian was the second most successful, which was in close proximity. Not even 10 years later did the Haitians rebel against the French. The French, the Spanish, the Spaniards, the Americans, and also the British. So it was a world affair. You had different players that was in Haiti during that particular time.
Okay. All right. We're going to rest it there. But first of all, I'm going to bring Tanisha. Tanisha Gardner, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Did you know all of this about the revolution in Haiti? And, you know, what do you take from this?
I remember it makes me 1804. It makes me want to go back and do more research, especially it seems like everything is repetitive. It's the same thing. Why isn't Africa to the point where it should be at, and the same thing as Haiti? And it's like, I guess with, you know, white supremacy being the forefront, we see it, you know, especially when Clinton, you know, was supposed to help them with the aid. You remember when they had the major earthquake, I believe it was about 10 years ago, when they had a major earthquake, you know, in Haiti, and they still didn't help rebuild. So it's like a systematic system. But I guess as, you know, as the black and brown community, how do we uplift ourselves so we can be able to help our neighboring brothers and sisters in these other countries? And I think that's very important in figuring it out. How can we get, you know, economic wealth and also resources? Resources are very powerful. If you have, you know, access to resources, those are pretty much ones who rule the world, you know.
Right, right. One of the things that I admire about the revolution is the fact that they sent an invite to around the world for any black people, African descent. If you needed a place to be independent and not enslaved, they sent a welcome out to anyone of African descent out in the world, right? Walter, did you know that?
No, I didn't. Thank you for the information.
Okay. And Tanisha has given us our walking papers to go do some more research. And right, so we're going to listen to her, right, because that's why I let her chime right on in. I want to thank everybody for their input on that. Don't you go anywhere. You're tuned to Quest Community Vibrations. What's the name of the show, Walter?
Quest Youth Radio.
Which is?
The best youth radio.
On 89.5 WSOU HD. Don't go anywhere. We have the sounds of Ludacris and Quincy Jones.
Yes, sir. See, what we're about to do right now is pay tribute to a living legend. So I brought Naturally 7 with me to do the beat. And I brought DCP's own Rudy Current. And me, I go by the name of Ludacris, right? And it's a lot of people out there claiming that they bosses, but I'm here to let you know the true boss is back. Let's go!
Rebirth, the true soul, black and ultra.
Be back on the line.
The true soul boss is over. Better respect your roots, I hope you're taking notice. Because he's the dude, don't be back and moaning.
Keep a flock of PYTs with them.
Yeah.
And they all exotic, erotic, come in groups of threes with them.
Yeah.
Living all over the world and I really get it hot when I'm overseas with them.
Hey.
And when we in Bel Air at the castle, I shoot the breeze with them.
Woo.
Publishing checks is coming even when he stay in bed.
Hey.
So we eating at the master table and we breaking bread.
Hey.
New artists steady bossing up, but I tell them why I bother.
Nah.
They can't come close to Ludacris and his godfather. That's Quincy Jones, baby.
Hey.
Be back on the line.
The true soul boss is over. Better respect your roots. I hope you're taking notice. Because he's the true dog and back in the
that's your eye.
me through. I'm here to bridge the gap between the old and new. That I'm a Casanova, Quincy, but put that, and I'ma put that. They face me, mugging them, hugging the crack like, ooh. I'ma make it do what it do, yeah.
The true soul, Bossa Nova. Better respect your roots. I hope you're taking notice, because he's the cue's gonna back and moan it.
Okay, we're back. I was jamming to that, you know. I like that Ludacris and Quincy Jones cut a lot. But without any further ado, I turn it back to our student host, Walter Pierce.
Thank you. And now it's time to get into the second segment of today, which is definitions. And this segment provides the listener with words and meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existent and not have it defined for us. Now, for my definition for today, it is reclaim. And reclaim is to retrieve or recover something previously lost, given, or paid, or to obtain the return of. Now, you're probably thinking how reclaim relates to what we're talking about today. And when we go back to Deathlings, when we talk about him taking over, you know, Africans, when we were originally all in our country back in, you know, Africa, we were leaders. We were the actual leaders. We were making the rules. We were making all the commands and giving orders out there. And, you know, when we're taken from our land and brought to other places in the world, we don't have that type of command anymore. We don't have that type of leadership. We're not leaders anymore. And Dessalines, what he does, you know, during the revolution of the Haitians, when they win the revolution, they take over and they are now reclaiming something that they had back in Africa, which was leadership, which we had. And that even relates to today as well. You know, we see our people now reclaiming what we had back in Africa many, many, many years ago, which was leadership and ownership. And, you know, you see a lot of more, and also wealth as well, because now you see a lot of more wealthy Africans, black people, who are also leaders as well and also own stuff. So that is really what my take was on the word reclaim and how it deals with our people as an African descent, you know. But I would like to get everybody else's perspective on that. And if you disagree or agree, do you believe that we are reclaiming our, I guess you could say, reclaiming our leadership roles, our wealth, and all of that we had back in Africa? You know, I know we have Mr. Tamir Davis on the line, and we have Mr. Sean Harris, Tanisha Gardner, and Mr. Bay. So, you know, anybody wants to answer that question, that would be very helpful.
Okay. I'm going to go to our black librarian first, but I'm going to ask you to answer his question, but inspire.
If you look historically, right, there's one person that I read came across is Alfonso Herndon. Alfonso Herndon was a former slave, and he eventually became a cosmopolitan or a beautician, and later created one of the most wealthiest African American insurance companies in America, and it still exists today. Atlantic Mutual Insurance, for millions and millions of dollars, was a former slave. There's a myriad of different people that's reclaiming, that have reclaimed. A.J. Gaston, Reginald Lewis. There's a great book about Reginald Lewis entitled "Why Should White Guys Fall of Fun?" Was a multi-billionaire that actually purchased PLC Beaches Foods back in 1989, 1990s on that particular time. So there's a myriad of different people. Robert Johnson is another person. In terms of being able to ascertain wealth, and there's another great book to read by Kevin Boston entitled Smart Money Moves for African Americans. So historically, there's been people that not only have been ascertaining land and resources here in this country, but also been building bridges and relationships with Africa for quite some time. If you look at W.E.B. Du Bois, the whole philosophical academic aspect was one thing, but Du Bois was always referring to engaging in economics. Du Bois was a part of a black alliance that created the first African-American record company in the country, and it had a mass wealth as well. So African-Americans, because you can't talk about our identity and our need to be included based on the fourth and 14th Amendments, equal protecting the law, and not equal protecting of the law, and everybody should have equal access, and not consider the fact that that also means if we consider equal, then we should be able to ascertain wealth as well. So historically, we've always been in that realm.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to pause it there. Mr. Harris, leadership, and is there any, but answer Walter's question to the best of your ability, and please inspire him.
The most things that I think about that we need to actually, like, try to reclaim is our sense of self, that we shouldn't really never be in competition with anybody else. You know, once you realize who you are and what you come from and understand what happened to put you in this position that you are today, this automatically gives you another level of consciousness that will help you move easily or more easily through this maddening world, this whole economic world that we're dealing with. Because the whole idea of commerce and stuff like that came from people who didn't have any resources. So we're following their mindset instead of following our original mindset, because we're still the ones that have all the resources that they need.
Okay. Thank you so much. Tanisha Gardner, same thing. Please inspire Brother Walter, but answer the question.
What was the question again?
Walter, do you remember your question?
Yes, and my question was, dealing with my segment reclaiming, do you believe that now, especially in today's times, that black people with African ancestry are reclaiming what they had back in Africa, which was things like leadership, wealth, and success?
I think the thing is, with knowledge, you have to seek it, and once you seek it, you have to share it. For instance, on YouTube, I listen to, like, a lot of different black podcasts, and they teach you about, like, the stock market So that's one way. Another way is, you know, R&B star Akon. He's doing a new project in Senegal, and it's worth over $6 billion, and it's going to be a smart city. So we are making strides. It's just, I guess it's us coming together and seeing those jewels that are not being shown, because the work is being done. It's just like, I guess as a collective, what do we do? And that's why our ancestors left the blueprint, because it's up to us, you'd be able, you know, to be able to make that change. And it makes me think about gentrification. The only reason why gentrification comes is because our community does not buy back our community. And I believe that's what we need to start doing, looking at our ancestors and, you know, and the people that's already here that has, you know, start implementing some of these strategies. And we have to take it and keep tripling and tripling it until it becomes like a momentum where you can see the actual change.
Okay. Or maybe like dominoes. You're tuned to Quest Community Vibration live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. Live on 89.5, The Sounds of Dancing Machine by Michael Jackson. A cornucopia of physics dictates that where there are vibrations, there must be a medium, and all vibrations possess a wave nature. You see, in our community, our art is in fact and in spirit the medium through which our waves travel. Where there is no medium, there are no vibrations. Now, my attempt to talk about mental health and mental stability in this pandemic and what we've been going through throughout the world stems from not only mental illness, but also inspiration. So as we deal with our mental issues from day to day, we also need to be inspired. Fire you today with a story titled The Butterfly. The butterfly struggles. You see, a man found the cocoon of a butterfly, and one day a small opening appeared. He sat and watched the butterfly for several hours as it struggled to force its body through the little hole, until it suddenly stopped making any progress and looked like it was stuck. So the man decided to help the butterfly. He took a pair of scissors and snipped off the remaining bit of the cocoon. The butterfly then emerged easily, although it had a swollen body and a small severed wing. The man didn't think anything of it, and he sat there waiting for the wings to enlarge to support the butterfly. But that didn't happen. The butterfly spent the rest of its life unable to fly, crawling around with tiny wings and a swollen body. Despite the kind heart of the man, he didn't understand that the restricting cocoon and the struggle needed by the butterfly to get itself through the small opening were God's way of forcing fluid from the body of the butterfly into the wings to prepare itself for flying once it was out of the cocoon. Well, you may ask, and I know you do, what's the moral of that story, Mr. Bay? Let's just get to the point, all right? Play the music, go to another segment. Okay, you didn't say all of that. Well, the moral is our struggles in life develop our strengths. Without struggles, we never grow and we never get stronger. So it's important for us to tackle challenges or on our own and not always be relying on others for help. So that being said, we're going to move on musically. We're going to come back in just a moment with Mr. Shelton Harris, and he's going to talk about the music business and whether or not you're getting the business or you know the business. And after that, he will be followed by a presentation of Curtains on DMX.
That makes the lonely winter seem long. You are the breathless hush of evening that trembles on the brink of a lovely song. You are the angel glow that lights the stars. The dearest things I know are what you are. Someday my happy arms will hold you, and someday I'll know that moment divine. And all the things you are
in our post and pre-production meeting behind the stage where we fight out what segments are going to be done and who's going to be doing what and what banner does this particular segment fall under. Well, I introduce to you now Mr. Shelton Harris. And while he doesn't know, this, I think, comes under a chain of events, because a chain of events is an interpretation as it affects the minority community from the Alloys of North, but in for this particular story, not just North, It's a report on events in politics, education, law, business, religion, and science. Now, law and business is our emphasis here. Chains of events reveals the interpretation of one event to another, right, so that you, our Quest listenership, will know what's happening. Now, part of the discussion that went on behind the scene that you weren't able to hear is the fact that many of our artists have passed away after recording numerous albums and songs, and they died penniless, right? And the thing that brought up the discussion was the, our brother, may he rest in peace, DMX, just passed. And his record sales and streaming went above, beyond, out the roof, off the ceiling, right, off the wall, right? And so it begged for me to ask, you know, where's the money going? And young people get involved in the music business. They sign these contracts. Anyway, let me just hand it over to Mr. Harris. Talk to us. What do you present to us today?
Yeah, and everything you said was a good, like, focus on what I'm getting ready to talk about, because there have been many artists over the years that have been caught in the trap that the record companies set up for them, you know, thinking that if I make a lot of records, sell a lot of records, I'm going to get a lot of money. And, you know, so I'm going to talk about what they call the standard royalty deal that most artists get. You know, like, so the way it works is that when artists sign a royalty deal with a label, the label usually gives them some money up front, like, thanks for signing with us, and they call that the advance. Now, in exchange for that, the record company gets to own the master recordings, along with any revenue those master recordings generate through sales and streams. And they also say, okay, well, we'll give you a certain percentage called the royalty rate. You know, but what most artists fail to consider is that all of the money that the label gives the artists up front in form of their advance and their record costs is actually a loan that the artist must pay back through the proceeds from their album. So if, for example, the artist has a royalty rate of 20%, for every album every dollar the album makes, 20 cents goes towards paying off what they owe the label. And once they pay back all of what they call unrecouped balance, then and only then will they get any royalty money in their bank accounts. But the problem is that the record has to generate a lot more money than the record company put out in the first place. Let's take, for example, say the artist got $1 million signing bonus as an advance, and it costs $200,000 per record to record the album. That means that they have $1.2 million that they have to pay back before they get any money. And with a royalty rate of 20%, the album has to earn at least $6 million just for them to break even. And of that $6 million, $4.8 million automatically goes to the label, and the other $1.2 million goes to pay back the money that they gave you up front. Now, today's world, we deal with a lot of streams, not as many CDs or digital downloads anymore. And the average that a record label gets per stream is 0.5 cents per stream. That's like on Spotify or Apple Music or something like that. So for an artist to generate the type of money that they need to recoup that money, they have to get at least 1.2 billion streams across all the platforms to make that $6 million back. And that's just for them to break even. Now, basically, that means that you really never pay back the loan. All right, just one little more hit, then I'm gonna let you go. So you really never pay back the loan. And if you sign a contract for 1 year plus a certain amount of points, say you have 5 points, that means you're obligated to that record company for 6 years, but the record company is only obligated to you for one. So if you owe them money and then haven't been able to pay them back, and they have the option of not picking you up for the second album, you still owe them that money. and you will never get a penny of royalty money, regardless of how well, you know, until you pay that stuff back. It's a scam. That's why it's very important to read, or if you don't understand it, have somebody else read it for you. There's really a whole lot of things that you could be said about this. I'll just stop with this basic thing right here. But there's a lot going on in here, and a lot of us have been susceptible to the little bit of upfront money, thinking that we got something, when in actuality we've lost a lot.
So if you don't know the business of music, you can get the business. Walter, you're tuned to Quest Community Vibrations, and it's time for your segment. Go ahead.
Yes, and it is time for Curtains. And Curtains is an exposure and analysis of artists and the work behind the curtain and the stage. Many recording artists and companies have grown rich from the support of the community, but what benefits have the community gained from the artists? Curtains is a review of their musical growth and history, the impact of their particular style and genius on the general moods and attitudes of their listening audience. Musical and lyrical social consciousness as presented by the artist over a period of time between CD release. Curtains serves as an introduction to and an exploration of a particular artist, his or her genius, and their involvement in influencing all people, style, and creativity in the world today. Now, as said earlier, I will be talking about DMX for a little bit. And, you know, following the deaths of Tupac Shakur and Notorious B.I.G. or Notorious Big, DMX took over as the reigning undisputed king of hardcore rap. He was that rare commodity, a commercial powerhouse with an artistic and street credibility to spare. His rapid accent ascent to stardom was actually almost a decade in the making, which gave him a chance to develop the theatrical image that made him one of rap's most distinctive personalities during his heyday. Everything about DMX was intense. His muscular tattooed physique to his gruff, barking delivery, which made a perfect match for his trademark lyrical obsession with dogs. Plus, there was substance behind the style. Much of his work was tied together by a fascination with the split between the scarce and the profane. He could move the spiritual anguish one minute to a narrative about the sins of the streets to the next, yet keep it all the same complex character, sort of like the hip-hop Johnny Cash, you could say. What turned DMX's life around was rap music. In his early days, he paid his dues rapping on the street corners, playing in clubs, and distributing his tapes. And all this created a buzz for the performer in the New York scene. In 1997, Rock Riders Entertainment and DMX were signed, and by the Def Jam label, he appeared as a guest on the sorts of like LA Cool J and J-Lox and Mace before releasing his first single in 1998, Get Me a Dog. With this created artist affection for the dog. In fact, DMX had a tattoo dedicated to his late pit bull and what he calls his best friend, which says, One Love Bomber. His first full album is Dark and Hell is Hot, which went on to sell 3.6 million copies and counting. DMX also branching out the film, he starred in films like Belly, a Hype Williams-directed crime saga, which featured other rappers such as T-Boz and Method Man. Now, you know, to fast forward on into the 2000s, you know, he released his fourth album called The Great Depression. And it was released in the fall of 2001 with his fourth straight album to debut at number one. Although it was platinum quickly, it didn't have the same shelf life as previous releases. In the late 2002, DMX published his memoir as Earl, the autobiography of DMX, and also recorded several tracks with Autoslave. And he will also record Here I Come, featured on the soundtrack of DMX's next film, The Reunion of Jet Li, called Crady 2, The Grave. And the film opened at number one upon its release in March of 2003. And the DMX Heavy soundtrack debuted in the top 10. And that concludes my segment on DMX. And, you know, without further ado, let's get into one of the songs that Mr. Bay has presented by DMX to close out the show.
That tea would help, though.
Here we go again.
Yeah. Check it out, y'all. Check it out, check it out, check it out, y'all. Check it out, y'all.
Okay. It seems that we've run out of time, and so I want to bring it straight to Calvin. What you think about today's show? Quickly. You only got 5 seconds.
Impactful, great show, guys. Keep up the good work.
Okay, the Black Librarian, quickly, you only have 10 seconds.
Great show.
Okay. All right. We have our number one fan, Val. What do you think about today's show?
Great show.
Okay. Tanisha. Tanisha, we have 10 seconds left, but what you think about today's show?
Cause you are held accountable for you, do you? Is that really what you want me to see? Do you? Cause I'ma do me truly, do you? Cause what it boils down to is true, do you? Cause you are held accountable for you, do you? Is that really what you want me to see? Do you? Cause I'ma do me truly.
Hey yo, dog, I got lyrics for your dog.
This the type of shit I got to put out way in the streets. You should be able to walk, not have to talk to nobody. Everywhere.
Okay, Walter, close us out.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Plus to Disney Vibrations, live in 89.5 from the campus of Fiat Hall in South Orange. Our motto is Quest Youth Radio is the best youth radio.
The best youth radio.
Trying to be me, dog. Look through your eyes, see what you see. Do you? Cause what it boils down to is true. Do you? Cause you are held accountable for you. Do you? Is that really what you want me to see? Do you? Cause I'ma do me truly. Do you? Cause what it boils down to is true. Do you? Cause you are held accountable for you. Do you? Is that really what you want me to see? Do you? Cause I'ma do me.